This morning I would have you turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28. We're going to be looking at verses 1 to 10, a very unusual passage. In fact, all of these latter ones in the book of Acts have been unusual for me to preach to you, trying to figure out how to preach to you and what would be good to preach to you and what would benefit you in hearing about. This morning I want to talk to you about the warming of grace. And we will look at the Apostle Paul gathering sticks and helping to make a fire and realizing the benefit of it from the natives that he was around. Well, let's bow together for a prayer before I begin to speak to you. Father, thank you for you are taking us by the hand and leading us into the truth of the Scriptures so that we really might grow in respect to our salvation. For Lord, we know that this is how we grow, is in and through the preaching of your word to us Sunday by Sunday. Oh Lord, we know that we do grow by our own study of the Scriptures and by others sharing with us besides our pastor. But we pray that these times that we have together would be sweet, that together today we would be able to receive this, your word, with meekness and gladness, and that we would benefit greatly by it as we understand something more about grace from it. We pray that you will bless us now, and we ask these things in your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Acts chapter 28, verse 1. Now when they had escaped, that is, from the ship and the shipwreck, they then found out that the island was called Malta, and the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. So when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow to live." But he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. However, they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But after they had looked for a long time and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. In that region, there was an estate of the leading citizen of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. And Paul went into him and prayed, and he laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. They also honored us in many ways, and when we departed, they provided such things as were necessary. So from this passage, I would like to speak to you about the warming of grace. Are you and I warm in our affections? Are we warm in our desire to help other people in need? It's pictured very well for us here. First of all, in the fire that was kindled by the natives for Paul and the others with him, verses 1 and 2. Second, in Paul's experience with a viper that came out of the fire and the natives' reaction to it. And then third, by the treatment that Paul and those with him experienced from Publius, a leading citizen of the island. Well, in all of these points, I want to show you the great indications of saving grace in the Apostle Paul, and also the grace that was in those people who ministered to Paul. First of all, the warming of grace is seen by the natives kindling a fire for Paul and those with him. Verses 1 and 2. Now when they had escaped, then they found out that the island was called Malta, And the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. So the natives sympathized with their plight, that they had been shipwrecked, and they thought about how they could help them. The word for natives here in the Greek is barbaros. It's why it's sometimes translated in the scriptures barbarians. Being a barbarian in that day in the broadest sense meant simply a foreigner. That is, one who did not understand the language of a particular people. This was the case here. These people were not uncouth or rude people, but they were people who truly cared about the welfare of others around them. And we should understand from this that kindness is a grace in any person, whether it's found in a believer or an unbeliever. And all grace, you should understand and know, comes from God, who created all men. In his creating them, he places within them the disposition and personality and temperament which will fulfill all of his purposes. It's true that every man is born into the world with a sinful disposition, which is set against God, set against the truth of God's word, because of Adam's sin in the beginning. This has affected us all, but total depravity does not mean that every man is by nature as wicked as he could possibly be. Total depravity means that Adam's sin passed down to us affects every faculty of our being. But it does not mean that fallen persons cannot learn to treat one another with kindness, even though they do not know the Lord. And this accounts for how a person can be a very moral person and yet not know the Lord, at least yet. There can be much common grace in such a person. We find Paul mentioning this in Romans chapter 2, verses 14 to 16, if you'll turn over there with me. Romans chapter 2, verses 14 to 16. Paul says, "For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts, accusing or else excusing them in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel." Now, what I'm trying to say to you is that this, what Paul is describing here, is common grace. It's common grace when the Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, such as loving their neighbor as themselves. The work of the law is written on their hearts, not in the way of new covenant grace, until they hear the word concerning Christ and believe it. But it is there, that is, common grace is there in their mind, in their heart, in the remnants of Adam's fallen nature, which is in them. And so it's true that all men have a witness in their own conscience that there is a God and that there is a right and a wrong. What is good and right in terms of how we treat each other can be cultivated successfully by parents communicating to their children what is right and wrong from a very early age. They're taught that they are responsible to do what is right. They see their parents and others as a good example of this, and then they can become kind people themselves. The Bible teaches us that God has given to every man a conscience which will help direct him or her in a natural sense toward doing what is right. That is, if their conscience is working in a right way within them, and then they respond to what is right, good works can be done and even cultivated in that person's life. And so since the persons whom we are considering here, the natives, were responding to what they were seeing in the plight of these shipwrecked men, it was because their hearts were being warmed with common grace that they showed this kindness. It says they showed unusual or extraordinary kindness. They kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold weather. So once again, common grace is not simply God's restraining men from doing bad things or keeping them from becoming worse and worse in their sin, although it is that. It's also having given them a conscience which is a law unto themselves. That is, from their own human perspective, to have the ability to see what is right in a human sense and in their own way to go about to do it. There is a warmth, I'm saying, to common grace, which is pictured here by these natives kindling this fire and making Paul and the others welcome. It's the grace of human sympathy that leads to acts of mercy and acts of kindness. It is the warmth of common grace at work when one human being shows compassion to another to help them when they are hurt or when they are in need. It's the warmth of common grace which allows people to be hospitable to those who are recovering from a disaster like this shipwreck. The Apostle James tells us that sometimes even Christians fail to show this human kindness to people in need. I want you to turn with me to see this for yourself over to James chapter 2 and verse 14 and following, where it says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does that profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." So the lesson that we should learn from this is that if these native barbarian people can show kindness to the Apostle Paul and those who were with him, then can't you and I show kindness to people who need to be warmed physically and need to be warmed spiritually by the gospel of Christ being shared with them? For showing kindness is commended to us by Christ himself in Luke chapter 6, verses 35 and 36. Listen to what Jesus says there. He says, "But love your enemies and do good and lend and hope for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High." And then listen to this, "For he is kind to the unthankful and evil." Well, it's for all of us who know God, isn't it, to teach others what God is like, that he is kind. And his greatest kindness was shown in the giving of his Son to be the Savior of the world. Titus chapter 3, you can see that if you'll turn over there with me to Titus chapter 3 and verse 4. It says this, "But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, that it was not by works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy that he saved us. And verse 8 of that same chapter, it says, this is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men, it says there. So when these natives kindled a fire, all those who were wet and cold drew close to it to feel its heat. They were warmed and they were encouraged that their life would go on. And these acts of these natives prepared the way for their hearing about the special grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that leads me, secondly, to say that the warming of grace is well pictured in Paul's experience with the viper that came out of the fire. It says this in verses 3-6, but when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. So when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow to live. But he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. However, they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But after they had looked for a long time and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god." Well, when you stop and you think about what was happening here, Paul was not a man to remain idle, was he? While others were helping him and providing for his needs, he himself, it says, gathered a great bundle of sticks for the fire. The word in the Greek is a plethos of sticks for this fire. It means a large number of them, a great big bundle of them. And Paul was going to help if he could. So he laid this big pile of sticks on the fire. And as he did, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened itself on his hand. And I take that to mean that it plunged its fangs into Paul's hand. Well, when the natives saw this, they immediately, it says, concluded that he must be a murderer whom justice was not going to allow to live. Now, I want you to see that, as strange as this might sound, that this is also an evidence of common grace in these people. When a person believes in the concept of justice, and yet they do not know the Lord. These people superstitiously believed that there were gods who governed the world, and they believed that things do not happen by chance. And they also believe that the person who does evil will be punished for the crimes that they commit in due time. They believe that murder was a crime that would not go unpunished, and so there would be retribution in some great way. This was no doubt true, but see how it is that those with only common grace misunderstand God's providential ordering of things. They need to be corrected by the truth of the Bible, and they need to have a readiness not to draw hard and fast conclusions, but to think rightly about the providences of God. Paul was not a murderer, but they immediately drew the wrong conclusion that he was because of this viper latching itself onto him. And they didn't know that this man was the Apostle Paul, a man who had been shown great and special grace in being saved by our Lord Jesus Christ, made into one of his apostles, a messenger of the gospel of the grace of God. They did not know that the Lord Jesus had said of his apostles in Mark chapter 16, verses 17 and 18, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So the signs of the Apostle Paul's apostleship were shown twice in the verses that we're reading here today. This is the first instant of it to our reading and hearing of it. So we need to understand that people who only have common grace will not understand what special grace is until Christ's power is demonstrated to them in some way. And often they will draw wrong conclusions about God's providence and why He permits and ordains certain things to happen. And I want you to see once again how calm Paul was in all this. He was just as calm here as he was in the midst of the storm, when he was on the ship the day before. But that was only a day ago. And yet here he is, and he's calm once again. So when this viper latched itself onto Paul's hand, it says he shook off the creature into the fire, and he suffered no harm. Now Paul knew who he was. He full well remembered that before Christ saved him, he was a persecutor, that he was a murderer of God's people in terms of what he thought about and what he tried actually to do to them. And no doubt he deserved to die for his past crimes. But Christ saved him on the road to Damascus, and he had forgiven him all these sins. And now he knew that Christ was helping him to fulfill his ministry, even though he himself looked at himself as the least of the apostles and very unworthy of his commission and all the grace that had been given to him. So Paul knew that he was showing to him, and he was showing through him, his great power, Christ's great power to preserve and deliver him in every situation. And Paul knew that by the grace of God, that he was who he was. And God's grace was sufficient for him. God's grace toward him was not in vain. He would continue to labor on in the cause of our Lord Jesus Christ all the way to Rome. He had that promise from God's angel. So God wasn't going to let this snake or this snake's venom bring him down to death. And all the efforts of Satan and all the forces, natural and spiritual, that opposed him would not stop him from bearing witness to the greatness of the grace of Christ. And that's how you and I ought to think about our lives as well, my dear brethren. Nothing will prevent us from doing what God would have us to do if it is His purpose for us to do it. I'm saying that the hearts of God's dear people are strangely warmed by the promises of God and the greatness of Christ's grace in the most difficult of situations, as it says in Psalm 112, verses 6 and 7, surely, speaking of believers now, a believer, he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. He is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established, and he will not be afraid. Well, these natives thought Paul was going to die. But as they watched him for a long time, closely, he didn't swell up, and he didn't fall down dead. And so they once again concluded rashly concerning him. They now thought that he was a god. See how People can change from moment to moment based on what they're looking at, and they're not right in any of their conclusions necessarily. It only goes to show that you and I need to be very careful when we look at other people around us concerning what they're going through providentially, or even what we are going through providentially at the hand of God, that we don't draw rash conclusions. Although we are not told here, I'm quite sure that all of this gave the Apostle Paul an opportunity to speak to Christ, speak to them about Christ, and how it was that he who had given him the power to overcome the venom of this viper would give them power unto salvation. And so it will be when God's providence, by God's providence, you and I are delivered from some deadly or difficult situation. We can give all the glory to God, and we can bear witness to Christ's protective care. Now, this is something that only a person who knows God's special grace can do. I hope that you can see this. A person with common grace cannot do what the Apostle Paul did, or what you and I will be able to do in dangerous and difficult situations, and that is to be able to know the power of God at work in our life, fulfilling his promises, protecting us and preserving us from every evil work for his heavenly kingdom. That's the warmth of saving grace. It brings comfort to God's people. And then third, the warming of grace is pictured well by the treatment that Paul and those with him experienced from this man Publius, a leading citizen of the island. Verses 7 to 10 say that in that region there was an estate of the leading citizen of the land, whose name was Publius, who received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery, and Paul went in to him and prayed, and he laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. They also honored us in many ways. And when we departed, they provided such things as were necessary, it says here. So here we see more of common grace at work, this time in the actions of this man, Publius, who was a leading citizen of the island, it says here. And he'd heard about Paul, and he thought that it would be good if he could receive Paul and those with him and entertain them at his estate. It says that he did so courteously for 3 days, and that they lodged, in other words, they lodged with him there for those days. No doubt they heard about Paul's being an apostle and why providentially he'd been brought into all these dangerous and difficult circumstances, that he, as an apostle of the Lord and one who was preaching the Lord's word and salvation, the gospel of salvation, that he had been told by the Lord that he would go to Rome and preach there, and that he was going to arrive there safely at some point in the future. So once again, as God's providence would have it, the power of Christ to heal men was going to be demonstrated here to this man, Publius, and this would open a door for the gospel to be preached to him and to others on this island. It says, it happened to be the case, providentially, that the father of Publius lay sick. I wonder if you stop to think about it, that all of these things that we talk about, whether they're dangerous, difficult, sickness or health or whatever it is, are all in the hands of God. That God providentially orders all things according to the counsel of his will. I want you to see this. And he does it so that we, you and I, will be able to preach the gospel to people around us. All these situations that Paul went through gave him this door of opportunity. So the power to heal was present with Paul when he heard about this man, the father of Publius, who lay sick of a fever and dysentery. He thought, you know, I've been shown a lot of common grace by these folks. They've shown me a lot of goodness. It's the least that I can do, Lord, if you'll let me, to go and heal this man who is sick. So that is what he did. Paul went to him and he prayed and he laid his hands on him and he healed him. So I'm trying to show you that Paul had been warmed by the fire of common grace when he first came to the island. And now he would warm Publius's heart with the grace and power of Jesus Christ in the healing of his father. Now this act of healing in the name of Jesus, it says it excited the attention of everyone on the island. And so the rest of the people on the island who had diseases, it says here, were coming to Paul and getting cured, it says. Oh, this is just a marvelous thing, isn't it? When the power of God is at work, what results take place, what opportunities come? And the same is true of us, even though sometimes we don't look for it. Well, brethren, I'm saying that you and I ought to look for it. And all these opportunities that God gives to us because of all the different situations that he brings us into and through are for our being able to bear witness to Christ and to prove his power going through them, but also to share what we know, the reality of it in our hearts with other people around us. So you see that the power to heal, I'm sure, was explained to them that it was not inherently in Paul, that it was inherently in Christ, but given to Paul, that he had this ability, this gift from God to be able to do this. He had power from Christ so that those healed would believe in the power of Christ to save from their sins. So it was Christ's power which could also deliver them from the power of Satan and bring to them the blessings and riches of Christ's grace when they would receive him and believe on him. Although it's not said, I think it's probable that many of these people believed. And it says they also honored Paul and those with him with many marks of respect. You know, people don't always come to know the Lord when you preach the gospel to them, or even sometimes they don't desire to hear more about the gospel. That may be the case with some of our children or some of our coworkers, but it doesn't mean that necessarily that they will not respect you. Dear brethren, you need to understand that and to see that, that all things are in God's hands. And even the results of what happens in the life of your family, the life of this church, these things are in God's hands in terms of what he wills to accomplish through us, his people, in relation to the personal ministry that he's given to each one of us according to the gift that he has given, the spiritual gift that he has given to each one of us. So what I'm trying to say here is it doesn't say anything about these people being saved, but I trust that many of them were. But even if they were not, they were still honored with many marks of respect, it says here, which shows that they had received the common grace from these folks, but they also were able to communicate not only common grace, but something that was far, far and away beyond what common grace does in a person's life, something of eternal value. Some of these people came to know Christ and the special grace, which brings salvation. You know, the Lord always brings this, the special grace, to all who trust in him, to all those who come to know the reality of his power at work in their life, drawing, the Father's drawing them to Christ, the Holy Spirit's raising them up to newness of life in the Lord Jesus Christ. These things, I'm saying, he always brings to those who trust in him. Therefore, let us who know his power speak of it to others. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this passage. We thank you for the ministry of the Apostle Paul. We see that more and more that he's not surrounded by all of his dear brethren from all the churches, but he has only Luke and Aristarchus with him. And he's going to make it to Rome. And even at Rome, he's going to be often by himself. And we need to see, dear Lord, that you lead us individually through this life. Help us to understand that you yourself are leading us, and that you will be with us in all the situations of our life, both good and those which we feel are calamitous and even bad. And that you are doing this so that we will prove and know the strength and power of your love and grace towards us, to help us to fulfill our personal ministry, to prove all of your love and grace towards us, and to deepen our relationship to you so that we might be greater servants of you and those who benefit continually from your ministry to us of intercession and help by your Spirit. We pray that you will be with us now to establish all these truths. In your precious name, Lord Jesus, amen.